everybody, and welcome to the Fortress Comic News, episode 136. I am one of your hosts, Chris, alongside just Mike today.
Just me. Hey, no interview today, but hopefully everybody was busy at New York City Comic Con.
Yeah.
This weekend, doing all the Comic Con stuff. I was not, but not this year.
I was busy, like, keeping up with New York Comic Con.
Yeah, some good stuff coming out of that, huh? Also, I don't know if they did this. They probably did this on purpose, but a lot of the comic books this week, at least for DC, had some like big finales or big reveals, I think. I don't think it's a coincidence.
I'm trying to remember what DC books I read this week.
Justice League, Legionnaires.
Yeah.
The finale to Legionnaires.
Yeah, I didn't get to read Justice League because I still haven't gotten 32.
Yeah.
So now that I'm behind, I'm
going to be... A lot of comic book science going on, for sure. Yeah, Joker came out this weekend. Did you go see it or no?
I didn't. I was planning on it, had a whole thing to do with it, and then fell through at the last second. So, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe next weekend. Maybe sometime during the week. Maybe not at all. I don't know. I do want to go see it, but the time, taking out 2 hours of my day for something I'm not super excited for is hard.
I liked it, and we're going to talk about how I made a lot of money. But I don't know. So some of the friends I went with didn't care for it, and I think it's like mixed, right? Well, everybody's saying they really liked it online. The critics didn't seem to like it. But it almost is like, I don't know. I almost felt like it was really uncomfortable as a comic book movie. It was probably like just because like this guy has like, you know, mental health issues. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I give like a 7 or 8 out of 10 just for like a spoiler-free review, but it might be best enjoyed at home. That being said, it made a buttload of money at the theater. And, you know, like, at the end, like, when, I mean, the Joker's filing his costume and stuff, of course there had to be kids in my theater with, like, their hoods up, like, raising their fists in the air and stuff, like, trying to scare people. And I know some theaters had people scaring other people. So maybe just wait to go see it too, because you're going to have people be assholes in the theater. Which is not cool, especially with how scared everybody or fearful people were coming up.
Yeah, there's, you know, a bad history with not necessarily Joker, but like the Batman movie where we had the shooting years ago, which is the reason why we don't do midnight releases anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think this is a pretty common thread throughout the show, but don't be a dick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I probably would have waited a little longer to go see it. And that's all I'll say. I'll wait for you to see it before we talk about it. I don't think it was bad. Obviously it wasn't bad. It's making a ton of money, so but that being said, Joaquin Phoenix plays a really good Joker. That is one thing for sure. Yeah. Really good Joker. Better than Jared Leto by a mile.
Well, I mean, when the bar is so low, like when the bar is at Miami Dolphins, you only have up to go.
You could be the Bills and still look good, you know? Pretty much. Yeah. We're going to jump into TV news, I guess. Also, TV news, it was the next week. All the shows are starting up.
Yeah,
I think that's next week. All the CW shows.
Yeah, and I think Walking Dead is this week.
I know, like, tons of stuff. This, I think, tonight is Mr. Robot starts back up, and Peaky Blinders just dropped on Friday on Netflix, and tons of other stuff. I did watch another movie this weekend though that I know I enjoyed. That I didn't feel weird about watching, but was Happy Death Day. Did you see the trailer for that one last, was it a couple years ago?
I did. It's an interesting premise.
And they made a second one. But I haven't watched the second one. I watched the first one. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it's Groundhog Day for a slasher film. But that, I mean, they kind of embrace that, that it's like a, it's almost like a meme of slasher films with Groundhog Day. And they even like talk about how what's happening to him was just like Groundhog Day, like the end of the movie. it was a lot of fun though. Especially for like something to watch in October, I think it was really good.
Nice.
Anyways, let's jump into some of the TV news that got dropped at Comic-Con. Gabriel Mann is cast as Thomas Elliot in Batwoman, which is pretty cool. Now we're getting, you know, Batwoman. I'm assuming the main villain is going to be Hush now, right?
You got to assume that at least, if not this season, maybe yeah. It's like the end of the season reveal for next season.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you got to assume at some point that that's going to pop up.
I think that's pretty cool. I like that idea.
Yeah. You don't just cast someone as a character as obvious as that and not do Hush. Like,
yeah. Right. Yeah. So that'll be pretty cool to see where that goes. The Harley Quinn animated series gets a release date November 29th, which is fairly close. It's like, what, less than a couple months away?
Yeah. I know you're not excited, and I'm not super excited either, but the cast just has me intrigued. Like, I kind of want to check it out just for that.
Yeah, we talked about that. The voice cast is pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, the one that always pops in my head is Alan Tudyk is in it. So, like,
yeah,
just that is enough for to pique my interest. But I believe, if I remember correctly, it's just a murderer's row of great voice talent. So,
mm-hmm. All right, now to the Walking Dead Power Hour, because you know. Can't get enough of that Walking Dead show. The show, the main show, has been renewed for an 11th season. So
shocking.
Wow.
Just shocking.
Can't believe that one. Which is, this is pretty crazy that Lauren Cohen has announced her return for season 10.
Yeah.
Which is, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, she was gone for most of season 9, and everybody was wondering about it. There was obviously like non-story reasons for that happening, contract disputes and whatnot. But It's good to see her back. I like her as Maggie. I like the way Maggie's developed over the entirety of the show. Like, she's one of the few characters, maybe the only character. I'm probably wrong on that, but that's left from like the beginning of the show. So. It's really cool. Well, she showed up in season 2, right? So, but still.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm interested to see her come back.
Yeah, and then, so we got a casting for Princess, which was a fairly recent comic book character. Paola Lazzaro has been cast for season 10. So, we know that she's showing up in season 10. They're going to have that character.
Yeah, which... So obviously they're not going with the same ending as the Walking Dead comic, because we've already not really killed off Rick, but like kind of pushed Rick to the side into his own thing.
Yeah.
And we've seen that the show is more about the group as a whole and not one singular person. So I'm interested to see what they do with her that's different from the book, because she was kind of a... She was a one-note character that didn't do much.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there is some cool concepts there of somebody who's been in solitary for the entirety of the apocalypse and thought she was the only one left. So I'm interested to see her and how they're going to expand on her, because obviously they're bringing her in during the Whisper Wars, and she didn't show up till much after that in the book.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. And then, the third Walking Dead series gets its first trailer, which I just watched, and I won't be watching the show. Surprise. If I had to describe it, it has the tone of like the early Transformers movies, and it's like, it's almost like Stand By Me, but with zombies. These kids they belong to a community of almost 10,000 people. They want to jump ship and go to the city. They want to go to the big city, but there's a problem with that, is there's zombies in between the city. It feels kind of selfish to me, but whatever.
Yeah, so it looks like we're in some sort of giant community that's protected by a wall. These kids have no idea what's really out there. When they initially announced it, I said the premise is great, but I don't like that they're going 10 years in the future. I wanted them to go like 20, 30 years in the future. Mm-hmm. I wanted people who had grown up and are adults living in that world and right. what it's like. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, so it's centered around 4 or 5 kids and them kind of like doing a... It reminded me of like a teenage rebellion movie, like...
Mm-hmm.
Mommy told me not to go outside, so I'm going to go outside to have an adventure.
So I'm going to, let's just go do it anyways.
So I'll probably pass unless I hear from people I trust that it's really good.
Yeah, I might have to hold off on that. We did get a Birds of Prey trailer, which, I mean, we kind of knew this was going to happen. It's the Harley Quinn movie, right? Which it doesn't look terrible. I think Harley Quinn has definitely gotten her accent better this time around. I wish I could see some more costumes. Obviously, we see like Black Canary, Huntress, Renee Montoya. And then we see Black Mask. And a lot of the comments are like, I don't know about Black Mask, but isn't he supposed to be wearing a black mask? It's kind of tough, though. I mean, it's like the Robert Downey Jr. thing. It's like, okay, well, you casted this very expensive actor, Ewan McGregor. You don't want to keep him in a mask the whole time. So.
Yeah. So my thoughts of this are basically, it reminds me of, it looks like a copy and a get an A scenario where they just wanted to make Deadpool 2.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we have a character that's kind of like Deadpool. And so Birds of Prey.
Yep.
That's really what it reminds me of. I mean, everything from the comedic element to it to... The villain on display, the only thing that's really missing is that kind of connection that Deadpool and Cable have as characters, but that's really what it felt like they were going for. My biggest disappointment is that, like you, I want to see more costumes, because what we saw of Huntress, which is the character that interests me the most out of this cast,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't impressed. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most, the most costume we see out of the trailer is Huntress, and she's wearing a motorcycle helmet. Like,
yeah,
that's maybe they're planning on doing a few of these movies, so that'll be like the credit scene is they're all in costume, but it's like why wait? You know, just put them in costumes.
Yeah, and so that's the character I like the most in the comics. Like, I like that Huntress Power Girl combination, but. With Huntress, it's one of those characters that, like, when they introduced Hawkeye in Marvel, I know you're not going to do the actual comic book costume because it's goofy. And you can't have somebody with those giant, like, triangle mask and weird skirt and everything. But I wanted to see how they were going to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, yeah, all I saw was a giant trench coat and a motorcycle mask on.
And it's like, they understand the comic, that people want the comic stuff. I mean, they give Harley Quinn a hyena. So like,
that was the other thing I was really impressed by. They did give Harley Quinn a hyena, and it's like, that's something straight out of Batman, the animated series. Like, that's where that started.
Right.
So when I saw that, I was like, wow, that's bold. It's a bold move, Cotton.
See how it plays out. So I don't think it's going to be terrible, but wouldn't be my first choice for DC movies.
I'm sure it's not going to be up our alley, but...
Right. It's up someone's alley, though. Joker opening weekend had a record opening weekend for October, $93.5 million. Almost as much as Justice League. Isn't that crazy? You have a movie with Batman and 6 other heroes, 2 other villains, 3 other villains. I don't know how many villains from them. Every villain. And the Joker movie makes almost $100 million.
I think it says... Okay, well, first of all, it beat Venom by like $3.5 million.
Right.
So... Just to put in context, it is a lot of money. Congratulations to Joker. I haven't seen it, so I'm not judging it based on content. I'm just saying it's not like it was a really hard a high bar for them to jump.
Yeah, I just you know, it's great. It's making all this money. I kind of wish Todd Todd Phillips, was his name, the director. He just need to like shut his mouth when doing interviews and like not make it so, I don't know, political about his movie. It's like, dude, you made a Joker movie. Shut up. Take your money.
Yeah, and I think a part of it too might have been like, so Martin Scorsese was like, was he the one involved as producer of this?
I'm not sure, but it seemed like he was trying his hardest to make a Scorsese film, almost.
I think it was him that was involved as producer, and then he came out earlier in the week, like, what, Wednesday or Thursday, and said like he doesn't think that Marvel movies are cinema or film or something like that. Like, some stupid comment that always gets made by these old-time Hollywood types that just, like, take their art way too seriously. And it just... I remember thinking, like, it reeks of you being like, those aren't cinema, but mine coming up, that Joker movie, that's going to be cinema. Like,
but it's a Joker movie.
Yeah. My other quick comment there was that I think it also shows that they got so close to Justice League that people were looking forward to this movie because it looked like a well-made, well-told story.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't something where they were trying to get Avengers money.
Right.
Where, like, you know, like, we got into whatever your feelings are on Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. After Batman v Superman, I think a lot of people were just like, okay.
Yeah.
And weren't super excited for Justice League.
I'm just excited that more, because he had said in an interview, like, he went to DC and was like, you should be doing these Elseworld stories. And his description is basically what they're doing in the comics right now. He said that they're going to call it, DC Black Label. So, and it's interesting because the whole start of this movie, DC doesn't drop their symbol at all. It just says WB Presents.
Wow.
There's no DC, there's no flicker of comic books or anything like that. Yeah, so I'll let that just sink in when you're watching the movie. But I don't know if they wanted to distance themselves from the continuity and that's how they're doing it, but like, we'll see. I mean, I'm just excited to see what else comes out after this. Hopefully it's a lot less controversial and, you know, doesn't get political and stuff.
Well, as someone who's seen it, like, do you think a lot of the controversy behind it was in any way, like, necessary or justified? Or do you think it was just, like, what you expect going into a Joker movie?
It's tough because, like, if there wasn't a Joker label on this movie, it would just be... I think it would just be a really... It would... It's like almost, it almost falls short of like a snuff film. That's what it feels like watching to me almost. Like, you're seeing this guy who has a really bad mental illness. The world is picking on him. So he goes crazy and he, you know, shoots up the world without giving away plot details. Like, that's like the story in a sense. Like, this guy's, and like, it, you know, he stops taking his meds and, The way they talk about his laugh is like a condition that he has. And it's like, so every time he laughs, you feel like, I don't know, it's like you're not supposed to be watching or something. Like, you feel bad for him, but you don't want to feel too bad for him because then he goes on like a killing spree, you know? So it's like, I don't know. It's just, you just feel weird about it. I don't know how to describe it.
That was my concern, like, as somebody who hasn't seen it, once again.
Right.
I was worried that they were trying to Magneto the Joker. And what I mean by that is Magneto is a villain who we all kind of like because even though he's doing bad, his reasoning is there. Like, he's Malcolm X to Xavier's Martin Luther King Jr. But Joker is just, he's chaos. Like, he's just pure evil. I don't want a reason for Joker to be evil. He's just evil.
Yeah, and I think, like, I don't know, there's some really dark comedic moments, but, like, the way the mental illness is handled, I'm not sure is the best. And I'll have to see your opinion on it, but, like, some people that are, like, you know, I, as someone with like issues, I don't think that was the best way to do it. Like, the person who's going on the killing spree has a mental illness, and like, they were abandoned. They're not getting the treatment they need. I don't know. It's just, I think it was too touchy of a subject almost to, it's like, I'm only concerned because like getting in the way of my Joker movie, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Because at the end of the day, you just want it to be a Joker movie. And I don't know, like, and especially when Todd Phillips comes out and be like, I can't make a comedic movie anymore because, you know, politically correct people or this PC culture sucks, which is like, okay, that's not the best. You're already like splitting your fan base when you say stuff like that. But I guess you just got to see it. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make a concerted effort to see it this week so that we can dive deep into it next week's show. Mm-hmm. I'm just very curious as an outsider looking in at a lot of what's going on with this movie.
Yeah. And the fact that, like, you know, they're issuing the stuff like, okay, you know, was it the FBI issued like a statement or someone that was like, you know, be careful going to the movies. And then that creates these little assholes that were like in my movie that have to like, you know, raise their fists in the air. That it's just like, and they have to like ruin it for other people. Then there was some drunk guy in another theater that I read about that was like spitting on people and like cheering every time the Joker killed someone. It's like, why can't we have nice things?
Because stupid people say things and then it makes people do stupid things.
But I guess we'll just jump into the comic book news because there is so much of that.
Yeah, let's do the happy news.
Happy news. Chris is going broke after this year.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about the little indie stuff. But
go to patreon.com/ForgedComicNews to buy comics.
So Chris can afford his comic pull list. Archie announces a big crossover for February 2020. I don't think anybody saw this coming. They're going to meet the B-52s. So, all right. Pretty exciting stuff. Alex Segura, Matt Rosenberg, and art by Dan Parent. Not really a huge fan of the B-52s, but I'm also not a huge fan of Archie, but I'm sure that's cool if you like those things, right?
Correct. So, real quick, I would like to speak my feelings in spoken word poetry.
Oh.
We were at a party. His earlobe fell in the deep. Someone reached in and grabbed it. It was a rock lobster. We were at the beach. Everybody had matching towels. Somebody went under the dock. And there they saw a rock. It wasn't a rock. It was a rock lobster.
Are you a B-52 fan, Chris?
No, but that song is fantastic.
What? I know the Rock Lobster song, but like, does anyone know the story behind the Rock Lobster song?
No, and I never want to.
Yeah, he just wanted to think of the rock.
Bliss and joy that this world needs so greatly. And if this comic does not talk about the Rock Lobster, then it has failed in its duty. That being said, I will not buy this book.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Like, do you have high hopes? All right, someone else can tell us if there's a Rock Lobster. Alterna announces 2020, they're going to get a sequel to Tinseltown, with Tinseltown losing the light.
Yeah, so we kind of picked and chose things from everybody to talk about.
Right.
And I want to talk about this from Alterna, because they announced like two books, I think. But Tinseltown was like one of my favorite books that they've done ever, if not in the past year. And getting a sequel to it, I'm really excited. It's the same creative team. David Lucarelli did an amazing job in the first book, and I recommend
he was on the show.
Pick it up. He was on the show and possibly coming back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and he, you know, I can't remember if he talked about it in the interview or if we talked privately about it, but he has had plans to extend the story on, and now we got the official announcement that this is how he's extending it.
Yeah, it was a cool story, so. Awesome. Good to see him doing well. IDW announces a new creator-owned series from the Chew co-creator, oh man, John Layman, Bermuda, with the artist Nick Bradshaw. We both love Nick Bradshaw's art. Bermuda is a comic about people stuck in a jungle environment with plenty of danger and adventure, so... sounds pretty interesting.
It does. The art looks fantastic.
Yeah, of course.
I always check out stuff John Layman's doing because he does some cool stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't always hit with me, but I just think he does good work. And this sounds cool. And I like that IDW is more and more getting big creators to do creator-owned projects.
I know Chris threw this one in for me.
Oh, yeah.
Amy Reeder is going to launch a new Amethyst series in February from DC Comics label Wonder Comics. Oh, so excited. I will pick this one up for sure.
Yeah, I did this A for you and B because there was no DC news, so I had
to put something in. What the hell? I know. That's I looked it up too. There's nothing.
Yeah, so yeah, how many times are we gonna try this character? How many times? But
they even tried it with like Frankenstein and the Agents of Shade and stuff, like it just never works.
If there's ever a line that it's going to work with, it's Wonder Comics. Like, if it doesn't work in Wonder Comics and it doesn't sell,
yeah,
DC, just shoot it out in a cannon and give up. Like, it's just, this is the only place that I think it can really work. Like, they tried to grittier up and do it like something in the New 52.
Yep.
And now they're going with like the teenage route. And I mean, I like that you're trying a different character, especially a different female character, but if it doesn't work this time, just give up.
Yeah, and maybe if they don't take it too seriously, like Wonder Twins or something, it might do well.
Which is why I think that the Wonder Comics line is perfect.
It's funny because Chris and I even talked about it on Friday, like, after seeing all the news, or Saturday, yeah, after seeing all the news on Friday, we're like, wow, can't wait to see all the DC news on Saturday. It's like,
all Saturday. I was just, like, looking, like, over and over again. Yeah. Like, I even went, like, so normally I have, behind the curtain for all the listeners, I have my, like, places I go and I check for news pretty much daily. Go through, okay, and pick it apart and I put it aside. I went out of my way to find DC news. Like, I went to their official website. I went to a bunch of other websites I normally don't look at. There's just nothing. Like, they didn't announce anything. They talked about the 20th anniversary of Batman Beyond. They talked about the Wonder Comics line, which we're going to get more into here in a second. And
that was it.
That was it. There was like TV stuff after that.
And they like, I was like, you know, I was watching The Joker and I'm like, oh, I got a couple hours. Maybe when I get out, you know, I'll get some notifications or maybe Chris will text me or something. Nothing. Dead air. I was like, wow.
And I'm super confused on why they went and announced Tinian as the Batman writer when they did and not wait till this weekend. Like, it
doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so talking about the Wonder Twins, the book that I love so much. Wonder Twins and Dial H, another book that I love, have been greenlit for more issues. Also, Wonder Twins is getting a crossover with Young Justice in 2020, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and keeping creative teams, everything. They didn't really give a number, so it looks like they're kind of going to be an ongoing series, which... I don't read Dial H, but as far as Wonder Twins, I'm super happy about.
Wonder Twins is so, or Dial H and Wonder Twins are both so good.
Yeah, I know you talk highly. You're not the only one who talks highly of it either. Yeah,
right.
But it's cool. It's a great success story for two concepts that, like, I mean, I know you have an affinity for Dial H as a concept, but like, these are two kind of goofy, weird concepts that constantly don't work. And we found creative teams that made them work and made great comics out of it.
It's so funny that, like, the Wonder Twins weren't popular, but there's such a, it's such a common reference I hear from people all the time. Like, I pay attention to it now, but, like, people, like, even casually at work, like, oh, Wonder Twin powers activate. It's just, like, out of all the comic book references you could pull out of your ass, like, why is it always Wonder Twins? But it's, like, something about that has stuck with people for generations.
Well, it was a moment in time with the Super Friends. Like, it just...
Yeah.
And everybody there was a generation that was DC Comics for them, that group, and whatever. But the fact that Mark Russell has gone and I forget who his artist is, but him as well, they've gone on and made this great comic, like, testament to them. Same with Sam Humphrey and his artist there. Like, it seems like he's made a great comic, and I'm glad that it proves my point. Any concept or any characters can be good with a good team and a good concept.
Yeah, so let's I guess we're gonna jump into the Marvel stuff. This is pretty interesting to me. Marvel announced they're gonna be publishing Warhammer comics late 2020. And we know that Warhammer is a Wizards of the Coast property, right?
Yeah.
So that's interesting to me.
It interests me because, so a few years back, what was it? That was like actually not even a few years back. It was like what, 5 or 6 years back, Disney bought Lucas. So Marvel started doing Star Wars comics again, which made sense. And then they all of a sudden announced that they're doing Conan comics again, which once again kind of made sense. There's a history there. But it's the first time that I can remember in a while that Marvel's delved into like licensed comics again. And now with this announcement, I'm really intrigued because it this and they actually they announced League of Legends last year, earlier this year. Like they're just more and more diving into that, and there's got to be financial reasons for it, but it's a strange move.
You think like, well, with the new Magic the Gathering releases, they always have a novel come out. So you think they would just jump on that? Like, there's already writing material, they just turn it into a comic book form. And some of the art, go ahead.
Magic the Gathering is done by IDW, I believe.
Okay, well,
Which is the reason.
oh, is it? They have comics out for Magic already?
Yes, I know they have comics out for Magic, but my cat behind me is licking herself. But Warhammer does too. I mean, Kevin Scott, who I interviewed for the show a long time ago, he does Warhammer novels. And I know there's other stuff out there. So like Warhammer has a similar kind of continuity to it.
Yeah, I guess we'll see how it goes. It'd be cool to see like some other stuff coming out from them. I mean, personally, I'd love to have Dota comics, If they did them before by Dark Horse, they could obviously do them again. But like, yeah, so I mean, if you're a fan of that stuff, I'm sure you're excited.
Yeah. It's an interesting business move to me because it feels like they're trying to snuff out some of the smaller guys.
Yeah, it
That's really what
does.
it seems
Because
like to
they're
me.
not going to be making any money off this. You know what I mean? Like
Well,
financially, this isn't going to put like Disney, over the edge, making so much more money because they're doing Warhammer comics.
yeah, and Dark Horse, IDW, Boom. I mean, all these are great places for independent comics, and there's a lot of comics coming out of those that I love, but they make their money off licensed stuff. ROM, Mass Effect, all these great properties. So
And that's a good point. I didn't even see it as that. It's like when Anheuser-Busch started buying up the local breweries. Just they didn't care about the profit share. They just wanted to own the entire aisle. You know what I mean?
yeah, exactly.
We'll see where that goes. And I know Chris is really excited for this one. Star, a character created in the recent Captain Marvel series, is getting her own limited series by Kelly Thompson. Kelly Thompson, though, great writer. Star, probably not a huge popular character.
I mean, she's only been around for like 4 months.
That's almost as exciting as Amethyst series.
Yeah, it feels like I mean, obviously this was planned. She took over Captain Marvel. Supposedly he's been doing a great job. Captain Marvel is not a character I normally pick up. And now this character is getting her own series. Good on her. I hope it picks up and does well for her.
This is
Kelly
exciting.
Thompson is a great creator.
Yeah, she is. The Alex Ross and Jim Krueger return for Earth X prequel Marvel X with art by where is it? Velibor Stanijevic. Yeah, this is all. You're a huge Earth X fan.
Yeah, Earth X was so
I still need to read it,
my
but.
funny Earth X story is when I got back into comics. Like I got back into comics, I was picking up Walking Dead, I picked up a bunch of other like monthly stuff, and then I started talking to the people that owned our shop and getting recommendations for stuff that I should read that I missed during my period off. And he, immediately being him, mentioned Kingdom Come. So I read Kingdom Come and I was like, this is really good. I absolutely love the art. And this Alex Ross guy, like, he's pretty good. And so I was like, is there anything else by him, like, that he does? And he told me Earth X. And so I picked it up. I bought it and brought it home. immediately disappointed by Earth X because I'm like, this isn't the same artist. I didn't realize that he was a character designer and a writer on this.
Right.
So my first time reading it, I was like, this is stupid. Like, this isn't what I wanted. And I like put it aside and read Marvels and a few other things. Years later, picked it back up and was like, holy shit, this is a really good story. So, I love Earth X.
I'll give it another shot.
Yeah, Earth X, it's a funny misplaced because you pick it up because it says Alex Ross on it.
Right.
You can't go into it expecting Alex Ross because you don't get Alex Ross. You get great art. You don't get Alex Ross art.
Right.
So, yeah, Earth X is a great series. I'm glad to see Alex come back and do more with it, as well as Jim. And I will definitely be picking this up.
Yeah, the announcement, too, of also Marvel's doing a new round of The End one-shot comics. It's a series that's going to involve the final tales of characters, and a new round will include Captain America, Deadpool, Venom, Miles Morales, and more. So this is probably going to catch you up and get you caught up to where the character is and where it's going to be going. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah. I've always liked the idea of the final story.
Right.
Everybody likes to do the final story. So it's a cool concept. I'll pick and choose characters I like. Captain America, obviously. Miles, obviously. But it's always been a neat concept, and I like that they do it in one-shot stories instead of, you know, kind of like what-ifs and not extended series.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Iron Man 2020 returning in 2020 for a six-issue series of Dan Slott, Christos Gage, with art by Pete Woods. So if you're an Iron Man fan, there you go. Six more issues for you. That's probably the best way to treat Iron Man, I think, right now.
Yeah, like the most recent Iron Man's been off schedule and everything, and it's weird. But they obviously wanted, I mean, why wouldn't you want to do Iron Man 2020 in 2020? Like,
right.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you like your Iron Man with giant gears on his shoulders, there you go. Yeah. I have no affinity for 2020 Iron Man.
Guardians of the Galaxy relaunching in 2020 with Al Ewing writing it and Juan Cabal art. So this is an awesome team up. Ewing explains it's going to be a spy-fi action adventure with a backdrop of interstellar politics and war. I mean, hey, yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy sounds awesome. Sounds like James Bond in space. Chris has already pre-ordered this one.
Yeah, I think they just... all I heard was, Chris, you're going to love this book.
That's pretty much it. Marvel relaunching Thor in 2020. This actually is... I mean, I was going to read it either way, but... with Donnie Cates writing an artist, Nick Klein, Cates says, and New York City, and I quote, Matt Fraction once said that every Thor book should be like Led Zeppelin. Well, I want mine to be like Norwegian black metal. You couldn't get me more excited for this book.
Yeah. Take my money. I fucking love Donnie Cates. He's everything I want in a comic creator. Rolled into a human being.
He's like, you want it to be like Zeppelin? Well, I'm not going to do that.
Okay. Fuck Zeppelin. Norwegian black metal. Let's do it.
This guy's a Viking, damn it. I'm going to treat him as such.
I'm so excited for this. I thought I only picked up Thor, God of Thunder, because I love Jason Aaron.
Right.
And when they said Jason Aaron's done, he's done his story, he wants to move on, I was like, okay, no more Thor. And then Donnie Cates comes out with his Norwegian black metal and his now weirdly blonde hair and is like, I'm doing Thor. And it's like, okay, I guess I'm going to keep reading Thor.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That's let him do whatever he wants. Wolverine's getting his own ongoing in the new Age of X-Men from X-Force writer Benjamin Percy and artist Adam Kubert and Victor Bogdanovic. Sorry, almost messed that one up. We know Kubert's art really good. Yeah, I mean, so Wolverine's finally back on the number ones, right?
Yeah.
Wolverine number one, we're back.
As part of Jonathan Hickman's big plan.
Yep.
But he's not writing it, so I don't care.
Yeah, we don't. we only want the books by Jonathan Hickman in his big plan.
The only thing I will mention is Percy obviously doing X-Force coming up with the Hickman plan.
Right.
But he also wrote those like Wolverine podcasts that we mentioned a long time ago. And people like really love those.
Oh, so yeah.
Maybe he has something to say about the character.
Okay. Marvel announces what's coming up for Star Wars comics in 2020, a new series titled Star Wars. I mean, yeah. Who saw that
announcement of the week?
Right. Well, here's a new, here's a follow-up series to Star Wars. Star Wars.
Hey, everybody, we're canceling Star Wars.
To make Star Wars.
Next series is going to be called Star Wars.
It's like, oh my God. Amazing. Amazing.
I love you, Marvel.
Yeah. We already talked about this. It's going to take place in the events after, or the events of Empire Strikes Back. It'll be written by Charles Soule, art by Jesus Saiz. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be just as good as the last one. So,
yeah. So, Ryan Stegman has a cool podcast called Stegman and His Amazing Friends, and he had Charles Soule on it.
Oh, nice.
And he was talking a little bit about, this is before the announcement, but he was talking about that Kylo Ren book he's doing. Mm-hmm. He was talking about working with the Star Wars team and how, like, you have to build trust with them because they're so protective of their baby that they don't want you to ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's someone that's been in Star Wars for a while and has done a lot of cool things. And I love Charles Soule. He's a great writer. I definitely recommend checking out his Star Wars stuff and his, anything he's done, basically. But I'm super excited because the pages they showed at Comic-Con were of the final scenes of Empire where Luke is losing his hand. So
nice.
It's taking off right at the place where we love the most.
Cool. Darth Vader is also getting a new number one, and we talked about that. Greg Pak is writing, artist Rafael Lenko, beginning February 2020. So Greg Pak taking Darth Vader, going to be awesome. It's in good hands.
I'll talk a little bit about it later, but the recent Star Wars book, Greg Pak took over, and he's leading towards the end, obviously. He's definitely setting up Vader for something, so I wonder if... They didn't really say when the Vader book's taking place, so mm-hmm. I am curious to know when it is taking place. I feel like possibly it's going to be in the same time frame after Empire, and everything he's doing here is going to reflect onto this book. But it's a Star Wars in the title, so I'll buy it.
Chris has already had it pre-ordered, everybody, if you didn't know. Now we're going to get into what we read this week. And me, it was all DC stuff, pretty much.
Fucking noob.
Yeah. Might as well get this one out of the way. Batman number 80. No, actually, we're actually starting to get somewhere. Batman finally returned to Gotham this issue. And he's laying the smackdown on all his classic villains. There's a really funny interaction with Kite Man, where, like, Kite Man's patrolling Gotham, and he gets hit with a batarang, and he's like, "Oh, you're back?" And Batman goes, "Hell yeah."
hell yeah.
Hell yeah. And then basically, so he cleans up the town. Earth One Batman Thomas Wayne Batman gets the, he hears that he's Batman shaking things up. So he has Damian Wayne, strapped up, and he's ready to kill him. So pretty much the end of the issue, Batman puts it in Thomas Wayne's hands of, like, are you going to kill him or are you going to let him live? And we don't really know. He's like going down to the Batcave to kill him. But I'm sure if this is all part of Batman and Catwoman's plan, that, I mean, he must trust in him to not want to kill Damian Wayne, I would think. Green Lantern number 12. This is probably the most Grant Morrison issue out of the series, and it wraps everything up. Basically, everything that we've been coming towards was so that the Black Stars could, like, assemble almost like pieces of different... things in outer space. Hal Jordan had to be one, and his ring as well, and they're all different colors. They basically want to use him as a weapon, or not really a weapon, but they want to reset the universe and reshape it in the Black Star image. At least that's what I got from it. The whole issue revolves around the Antiverse. So, like, Hal Jordan is fighting to save the Antiverse. He meets, like, the Antiverse version of Sinestro, basically Superman and other heroes, which is pretty cool. The problem is there's a fight going on within the Antiverse that's going to destroy their world as well. So the Black Stars kind of get what they want out of Jordan. They're like, okay, well, the world's going to end, or you can reshape it the way we want by using the black, this thing that we assembled. So I think he's going to use it, because what they say is like, the antimatter war is going to start in, a Black Star's number one book is coming out of this. Yep. And then they said that, Green Lantern is going to return for a part two, written by Grant Morrison. So it's pretty interesting to see where that goes. I liked the series as a whole from Grant Morrison. It's probably a lot better to read as 12 issues, right, like in a trade. Still really cool stuff. You get to see some really cool characters, and the art is amazing. Legion of Superheroes. Have you read that this week?
I have.
Pretty crazy issue, huh?
Yeah.
We get that. It took me way too long to figure that it was Booster Gold that she was talking to. I didn't realize.
It did for me too, but as soon as we started talking, like, we could go back in time.
Yeah, back in time with Rip on her.
I'm like, is that Booster?
Yeah, I'm like, wait, hasn't he done that? Is he supposed to do that?
Yeah. So,
so we get Rose Thorn going through the future almost. But she has an interaction with the security guard at the Hall of Heroes, which happens to be Booster Gold. He's like, if everything's so bad now, like if you think the 20th century really ruined everything, why don't you just go steal this time sphere from Rip Hunter that's in one of the exhibits and go back and change it? Well, she doesn't really care for that idea. She thinks she needs to go through the future. Well, we saw the starting of Booster Gold there, because he's like, why don't I just go do that and become a superhero? So that was pretty cool to see. We get almost pushed more and more into the future with each little story arc with Rose Thorn, and she's almost like moving towards a singularity, or like becoming one with the universe. She keeps going further and further through time. That like each story gets more like minimal, I guess, like with the art and everything, and how she's like, okay, I'm approaching the end of everything. And then she ends up at the Legionnaires, which is what, 31st century.
Yep.
So she's been living a long time. She wants to get, that's her end point. So she gets there, and we get this awesome splash page of all the Legionnaires. That was really cool. We finally get to see them.
Yeah. All in all, these two issues kind of, they set a timeline for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So like now we know where Batman Beyond comes in, and where Booster Gold comes in, and where Commandy comes in, and so on. Yep. And so forth. And I don't think that if you're interested in Legion, the issue number one coming out, I believe, next month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this book is necessary, though, because all you need to know is that Rose was going through time, meeting all the different characters, mm-hmm. showing us where they exist in the timeline. And then she meets up and says, hey, Legion, I need your help.
Right. And she has some info for them, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, so all in all, I didn't really enjoy the two issues, but
yeah, you're right. I don't think they were necessary. Justice League 33. You haven't read it, but I mean, the anti-monitor, the world forger, and the monitor all combined to make the Ultra Monitor. It's basically like a Megazord version of the three brothers, which was awesome. Like, you're already like, damn, I should have read it. Just pretty much the moral of this is like the Justice League is in trouble throughout the past, the present. And guess who they send to like go get help? Commandy. That's pretty much all he's good for. Honestly, they say like he's put in charge of like saving them. And I'm like, how is he going to save them? Well, at the end of the issue, he reveals he's like, I need to call in more justice. He's like, we need more justice. And like in the page, there's like black and silver suit, Superman, Batman Beyond, basically. And it says next issue, Justice Unlimited. So they're pulling in, they're grabbing all the Justice Leaguers, I think, across the timeline, and maybe from the multiverse too.
Well, just based on those two, it sounds to me like they're doing Justice League Beyond.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if the ending either says Justice League Beyond or Justice League Unlimited. but it might be Beyond. Yeah, it could just be Beyond. There's other people in the picture, but it's awesome because Batman Beyond's there, and there's nothing I love more than getting Batman Beyond part of the continuity. That's like, bring that character.
Yeah, and the Batman Beyond comic has been a fantastic recently.
Yeah, that's really cool. So I guess that's probably Commandy's the whatever time traveling person to send help. I don't know, whatever. But what he did is pretty cool. I don't really care about him, but I care that he's grabbed the Beyond universe and bringing them to help the Justice Leaguers fight. It's funny because the whole crew that's with the Justice Society and Aquaman, they're trying to find Atlantis to find a magic conch that'll make a call across space and time to get saved. Like they need Starman to find that where they are, and how are they going to do that? They get a magic conch, which is pretty awesome. Aquaman's not a joke, dude. This is a serious character.
So remind me real quick, the Justice Leaguers in the future, is Superman with them?
Yeah. Yes. So they're fighting Brainiac 1 million, and Brainiac 1 million basically has a way to counter all their abilities.
Okay.
So he's just like trashing all those people.
Because if I'm remembering correctly, the Superman Beyond is our current Superman, just super old.
Oh. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about that.
So yeah, it's interesting that he's meeting his future self.
And then we have Superman 1 million that he's with right now. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Both the sets of people, like Brainiac 1 million is trashing the Justice League in the future. When they get to Atlantis, they find out that the Doom Legion of Doom has Poseidon under the control. So it's kind of hard to get into Atlantis with Poseidon cracking down on you. So all in all, really good issue. Next issue is going to be even more exciting. Dude, Justice League has been like my favorite book. It's Scott Snyder's doing crazy things. And that's it. That is me for the week. Because I had to travel for work, I got a little over halfway through Daredevil Yellow.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, really good.
That whole color series that I think it was Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale did is really good. Hulk Gray is fantastic. Honestly, Captain America White, not so great. Mm-hmm. But Spider-Man Blue was really good, too.
Yeah, I'm liking it so far. I'm a few issues in.
Okay, so first from Marvel, Contagion number one. This is a weekly series. It's going to be 5 issues, and it's all about the street-level characters in New York. So this one focuses around Ben Grimm. And there's this character who appears, and he has some infectious disease, and he's able to infect people with this weird goo, and he gets all of the Fantastic Four except for Ben, and he's able to get Mole Man. So there's a cool fight between Mole Man and Moloids with Ben Grimm. But what's interesting is it's first discovered in Kung Lao.
Okay.
And I'm not familiar a lot with Iron Fist stuff, so the character who finds it in Kung Lao ends up going to New York and meeting with Danny Rand. Mm-hmm. And the next issue looks like it's going to be a Danny Rand centered issue. It was okay. It's not great. But it being a weekly series, I'll probably just stick with it. Cullen Bunn, Dark Arc After the Flood, number one. So the main Dark Arc book finished, and the Dark Arc is now no more. They're on land, and the flood is starting to subside. So now we're getting kind of the aftermath of everything that happened. And it's an interesting story. It's the main character from the first book's daughter and where she came from and who she is in all this mythology. Mm-hmm. And we end up finding out that the same demon that was helping our lead character from the first series is contacting her and wants her to find Noah's Ark and destroy it. Really good series. It's something kind of out of the ordinary, and just a neat idea of, Noah's Ark, but for dark creatures like vampires and whatnot. House of X number 6. It's a very interesting book. So we kind of get like the relationship between Xavier and Magneto and how they kind of made amends. But then the big thing here is them talking about how they came up with this medicine to basically cure cancer as well as a bunch of other diseases.
Wow.
And Xavier talks to the entire world through his mind, mm-hmm. and says, like, listen, normally we would be like, here, have this cool thing and we will help you out. But since all you humans are dicks, we're going to not do that instead.
Right.
And what we're going to do is anyone who welcomes Krakoa as its own sovereign nation and accepts us as our own sovereign nation, we will do business with you. And we will charge you a fair amount for this drug. But anyone who doesn't, we will not talk to you about it. We won't do anything for you. So it's kind of Xavier really cracking down and being like, listen, my dream is dead.
Mm-hmm.
There's no chance that we are going to live together in harmony. So now what I'm asking for is for you to accept that we have our own nation and we are our own people. It's an interesting setup for what X-Men is going to be, because next week is the last issue in all of this. So I enjoyed it, but it was an interesting way to go about it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Vampire State Building.
Oh.
This is I don't know the writer, but this is Charlie Adlard's new book.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like Walking Dead art, Walking Dead art, all about this. It's really, the art's fantastic. The premise is kind of cool. The idea is that when they're building the Empire State Building, in the middle of it, they cocooned this leader of the vampires.
Nice.
In the middle of it. And through trying to upgrade it and reconstructing parts of it, they end up letting him loose and letting all these vampires out. And it's the story of these people who are stuck in the Empire State Building while this is happening.
That's cool.
It was a cool book. It's definitely something that I'm hoping it's just like a mini series or like a maxi series,
because
mm-hmm. it doesn't fit a ongoing whatsoever, but it was cool.
Cool.
Deceased number 5. This was, I think Tom Taylor's just at the point where he wants to fuck with everybody. Because he really builds up this nice narrative of how like they're finally starting to figure it out. And like in the last issue, the one shot, they blew up Metropolis and a few other cities.
Mm-hmm.
And Lex Luthor is there, and Lois Lane and Superman come up to him and be like, what trouble are you trying to cause? And he's kind of down on the ground and was crying, like, I'm not here to cause trouble. Like, our city is dead. Our world is destroyed. And he ends up working with them to try to build this lifeboat and try to save the human race. It's this great, nice story, and then out of nowhere, Martian Manhunter shows up as a zombie, and it's an intense fight, and Barry Allen gets infected, and they do this whole thing of, like, if the Flash is infected, we have to kill him immediately, because do you know how many people the Flash can infect
in less than
a second?
Yeah, right, everybody.
So it shows him kind of going off and infecting people. And then Superman up in space, he's talking to Cyborg and says, or not Cyborg, who was he talking? It doesn't matter who he's talking to. He's talking to the people down there and being like, are you sure that Barry's infected? And they go, yes, he's infected. So he goes down and says, okay, flies down and tries to meet him at a point in the middle of the ocean and basically just sits there as a battering ram and waits for the Flash to run into him. And that was his way of killing the Flash.
Damn.
But the problem with that is with how fast the Flash is moving, parts of him got stuck inside of Superman, so now Superman is infected.
Oh, wow.
So then the last half of the book is all about how, like, we're all fucked. Like, Superman's a zombie. We're all fucked.
That's gross.
There is a really great moment, though, where he kind of uses the Speed Force with Wally and talks to his family. And has this, like, touching moment before he just, like, tries to get as far away as possible before being infected.
Wow. That's awesome.
Book's actually really cool. A lot of fun. I do recommend it. Marvel Comics 1001. Big disappointment.
Really?
There's 2 pages of necessary reading.
Oh.
And the rest are one shots that some work, some didn't. It's not as great as Marvel Comics 1000, but this is the only other issue they're doing. It was just more about the Eternity Mask and what that character is. And then has a thing in the back saying, will appear soon in 2020. I don't recommend picking it up. No One Left to Fight, number 4.
Nice.
Just a really cool book. We get these two characters that have decided to... they want to leave our dimension and just leave all the bullshit behind.
Same.
So they create their own cocoon, and they live it with nature. And they're friends with the lead character. They end up finding each other, going over there, and one character's like, why we let them in? Like, I know they're friends, but, you know, chaos always follows them.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep using the DBZ
It's example. Very similar to DBZ, though. I've started reading it, too.
Yeah, but it is the example of, like, wherever Goku goes, there's an alien or someone that wants to fight him.
Wants to kill the planet, yeah.
Yeah. And it's great because everything's going really well and all this, and then all of a sudden their old nemesis shows up.
Of course.
And the guy's just like in the background, like, see, I told you, like, whenever they show up, these things show up. Yeah, if you're a DBZ fan, it's a really cool kind of a story of what if in that universe, but at the same time, it's not a DBZ story. So I really love this book. I recommend it. I kind of hope that they're doing more of it than just the 5 issues, but
the art's really cool.
The art is fantastic, yeah. And the whoever's doing the coloring too, like the color palette they use.
Yeah,
for
the palette's really nice. Awesome. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna try to go quick with the rest of them. Star Wars 72. It's just kind of wrapping more stuff up with the story because we only got one more issue left. But Vader is stuck on Chewie and C-3PO on this planet full of rocks and rock people. And Vader comes. And the plan was to blow up the planet with Vader on it. But now that they realize the rock people are sentient, they don't want to do that.
Oh.
And it's funny because it ends with Vader kind of going, talking to C-3PO and saying, well, so basically they're droids just because they have no emotion. And C-3PO goes, well, some droids have emotions. And Vader says, yeah, that's because somebody programmed them with emotions. These guys don't have programmers yet. And then it ends. So it's like Vader wants to take the golem people and attack things with it.
Vader and his golem army. Sure. Yeah.
It's a cool issue. But obviously we're near the end. Savage Avengers number 6 was Conan and Punisher traveling from the Savage Land to another part of Antarctica. It was a cool issue, especially if you like the idea of Conan being like, I wonder what this machine gun does, and picking up and killing a bunch of things.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the Savage Avengers have all kind of split up, and now they're telling individual stories with them. So this was those two and where they were going. And it was a cool story. It was a lot of action, and then it's the main crux of it is Frank Castle trying to get his family back to their graves, because in the last story arc, they took his family bodies away from him.
Poor Frank.
Star Wars Dr. Aphra number 37, really good issue. I don't want to go too much in depth with it because it involves 36 issues of talking. But I really like that book. We got Aphra and Vader back in the same page together. So the interaction there where Vader's kind of like super pissed that she even is alive because she was supposed to be dead is interesting. But at the same time, the Emperor is protecting her so he can't kill her. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of Vader just being a dick, being like, get out of here, and force pushing her.
Wow.
Daredevil number 12. The crux here is Kingpin being mayor, he's trying to legalize weed. And he's trying to do it because he bought a bunch of land in upstate New York. And he wants to grow a bunch of weed.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
And then in the background, it's Matt Murdock realizing that he's trying to kind of get back, but not wanting to get back at the same time. And realizing that he's out of practice. And Elektra shows up and is like, you need me. You need me bad to help you out. Daredevil's really good. And then Berserker Unbound number 3. good issue. Nothing fantastic, but we're starting to build a relationship between the two characters that is a lot of fun. So, Mike, with all that talking, where can people find you on the internet?
Fortress Rick or on Twitter, where can they find you and or the show, Chris?
Well, why they can find me at Fortress Chris on Twitter or FCN underscore official for the show on Twitter, as well as FortressComicNews.com. Remember, everybody, like, subscribe, share on the YouTubes, 5 stars on the iTunes and other podcatchers, and Patreon.com/FortressComicNews, where you give us money and you get things in return. It's a cool thing.
Chris can buy more comics.
Yes.
He's going to need it.
And there might be something exclusive popping up on there.
Uh-oh.
In the near future.
I like the sound of that.
Mike and I are talking.
Yeah, we talk a little bit.
A little bit. Here and there.
We dabble.
But come back next week where we have a fantastic guest for you and more of the Joker talk, hopefully.
So bye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.